This is Pastor Jeff Pipa from Revolution Church here in Salina, Kansas. You can find us online at revo.church, that's R-E-V-O.church. You're about to listen to our sermon from this past Sunday. Hope you enjoy it, and you can always find more at revo.church, that's R-E-V-O.church. I hope you guys don't mind, but I'm going to start this sermon by making some popcorn because I love popcorn. Anybody else in here like popcorn? Yeah? I tell you what, I'm diabetic, and so I started this program, and they're like, you are not allowed to eat popcorn on this diet. And I'm like, you know what? Screw you. I do what I want, and that's why I'm at where I'm at in this part of my diet, but that's okay. You know, I'm going to eat it anyway. I love popcorn. I really do. I can't get enough. I'll go through some of these ingredients a little bit later because it's so important to have the right ingredients. It's the popcorn, the oil, the salt thing here, it's all like super important. So I'll have some popcorn going here in just a minute. Actually, one time, I love popcorn so much that I ordered it in bulk. This here's a 25-pound bag. One time, I ordered myself a 50-pound bag of popcorn that I cook at my own house. And this sucker was massive. And I'm like, what am I going to do with all this? So I started by buying extra Tupperware containers. And then I'd pour a little bit in all the containers and store it. Well, I was doing this outside my backyard. And, you know, as I'm pouring it, like, some of the seeds, like, fell around my backyard and kind of scattered a little bit. I didn't think anything of it. Well, I don't know how long it was. Maybe 3 months, maybe a year later, some corn started growing in my backyard. And I'm like, this is awesome. I'm going to grow my own corn. I'm going to make my own popcorn. This is genius. Well, after it started growing, it got all the way tall. It was like sick and deformed. It's like lean over. Like I went over to it. It was like, help me. Like it was some nasty popcorn. Why was it nasty? Because even though this stuff fell onto the ground, I didn't do any of the work. Remember, we've been talking about doing the work, right? You got to plow, you got to dig, you got to fertilize, you got to weed, you got to do all the work before you get the stuff. This is what our memory verse was all about for the last 3 weeks. Here's our memory verse. Put your outdoor work in order. And by the way, this is on outline. You can get out of the chair in front of you and you can write this down. Put your outdoor work in order. And get your fields ready. After that, build your house, right? You don't get the stuff until you do the work. Can we read this out loud together, everybody? We like to say stuff out loud here. It helps engage your brain a little bit better. Let's say it. Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. I hope some of you memorized it. You can at least go work on this, work on memorizing it. You can apply this verse in so many ways, like planting corn. But one of the strongest ways that this applies, one of the clearest ways this applies, is with your money. So welcome to week 3 out of 3. We're done after today. Welcome to week 3 out of 3 of our series, Money House. We have learned that you can have this, you can have the better car, or you can have the nicer house, you can, you know, have it so that when your car breaks down, it's only an inconvenience instead of an actual problem. Like, these things would be good, you just have to do the actual work first. Wouldn't it be nice to have such financial stability that if you needed a couple weeks off work, you just take them, and you didn't have to worry about the money you're going to lose on it, because you just got money in the tank. I bet some of you are struggling with student loans, medical debt, car payments, your rent. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to get rid of all that stuff? And you can. You can get rid of all that. You can have a nicer lifestyle. But the problem is most people go for the lifestyle before they put in the actual work. They want this without this, and that doesn't work. God doesn't want the pain that comes with you trying to get the lifestyle you want without putting in the work for it. So the principle is you got to put the outdoor work in order. You got to get your fields ready. And then after that, we all say after that. And then after that is when you build your house. That's how this works. We're going to go through the last couple weeks. Oh, man, that is one of the most beautiful sounds in the world. Can you hear that? I just love that. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, we started this series, and one of the things we learned from the Bible is that you got to stop living with financial fantasies. What are some of the fantasies that people have had? Lottery. You ain't winning the lottery. I hate to tell you. right? We learned statistically, even if everybody at our church bought a lottery ticket every single day for 800 years, it'd still be more likely that an eagle would poop a gold coin in your mailbox, right? We found that out statistically. I'm going to make some more popcorn here. You got to stop relying on these fantasies. You don't have, and I hate to tell you this, but you do not have a secret uncle who's a billionaire who's going to show up someday and give you $1 million because now you're finally responsible. That's just not how this works. Oh man, I'm going to make some more of this popcorn. It's going to be so good. This is the secret ingredient. It's the most important thing in here. Okay, there we go. Now, number two, we learned you got to work really hard wherever you're at. It doesn't matter where you're at. You got to work hard right now, wherever you're at. Don't just be fantasy world. Next job, I'll get a better job later. No, work hard right now. You also got to stop being dependent on other people. Stop being dependent on the government. Stop being dependent on the church. Stop being dependent on your family, your friends. You got to make the way for you. You are responsible for your life, Scripture says. You got to own it and stop waiting for other people to try to take care of you. You got to be more like the ant. You don't need a supervisor. You shouldn't need a boss to tell you how to do your job or when to do your job or to work harder or to not be late. You got to take care of it just like the ant does, all on his own. Get after it. And then truth number five we learned 2 weeks ago is to save money. Save money. You got to save. Don't spend it all. Some of that is the Roth IRA or retirement. And then last week we learned you got to get out of debt. Remember this from last week? You got to get out of debt. What did the Bible say? A borrower is what? Slave to the lender. This world will say, man, borrowing is how you get rich, use other people's money. No, the Bible says you're a slave when you have debt. Truth number two is you got to get more skills to become more valuable, and then you can earn more, right? So even YouTube videos are good, but books are amazing. You can get someone to consult with you and challenge you and to grow. Go practice your job. Practice it so you become better at it. And then truth number three is you got to make a budget and regularly check on your budget for adjustments to avoid lifestyle creep. Lifestyle creep is where when you finally get some more money, people automatically start spending more money. Don't do that. You got to check on your budget and make sure that things are staying straight and staying good. Remember, the Bible verse talked about sharpening your axe. That's what you got to do. You got to sharpen your budget every single time you get a paycheck or every month until you get it all figured out. Man, if you do all this stuff in the last 2 weeks, you are literally on the highway to financial success, and you are going to have more money. You're going to have more opportunities. But, and this is huge, are you ready for this? You got to finish well. There's still one big thing that could change all of this. Man, this popcorn looks so good. I'm going to connect this to the sermon, right? It's not really two sermons today, money and popcorn. This is going to connect in just a minute. But let me tell you a little bit about this popcorn. So when you make popcorn, the first thing you got to know is that this pops at 365 degrees. So when one of these kernels reaches 365 degrees, then it reaches, I believe, 135 PSI, and it explodes from the inside. God made food that tastes better after it explodes. God is great. And this thing explodes at 365 degrees. So what you have to do is you have to start cooking it at about 400 degrees. Now, this thing cooks too hot. I don't care for that. But this thing cooks too hot. But you want to start cooking at about 400 degrees. And then when it starts popping, then you pump it up to about 450. You want to wait because if you cook it too slow, the water molecule inside starts to boil the popcorn from the inside out. And you don't want to do that. If you cook it too low for too long, it actually burns it before it has an opportunity to explode. And so, do you like popcorn? Okay, do you like popcorn? No, okay, never mind, right? Do you like popcorn? Okay, do you like popcorn? Okay, right, I just want to make sure I'm giving it to someone who likes it, you know? There are people out there who have mental problems who don't like popcorn. I'm sorry, I don't know. Right, but the reality is you got to cook it at the right temperature, right? And then you got to use Dutchman's popcorn oil. This is the oil we got here. It is so good. I could just eat this by a spoonful myself. And then this is called Flavacol. This is genius. You got to have Flavacol. If your popcorn never tastes right at home, you got to get Flavacol. Also, these are my favorite. Amish rainbow kernels comes. There's different colors kernel. Like the red one is like a little bit sweeter. The blue one doesn't have holes in it. There's a whole bunch of different kernels. Put this all together, but also very important. Will you say this line with me? No microwaves involved.
Only microwaves involved.
So anyway, I have an announcement. We have one less member of our church today. We've got microwave popcorn is full of chemicals, and they don't use butter, they use glue or something in there. It's disgusting plastic flavor. And now, so clearly I love popcorn, right? Now imagine someone asks me to plant corn so that we can have more popcorn. I'm gonna be like, okay, great. This corn is gonna give us more popcorn. But imagine that they give me all this popcorn and I do all the outdoor work that I'm supposed to, right? I clear the stones, I sweat in the sun, I fix the fence, I sharpen the plow, I get the tractor working, and then instead of planting the seed, I pop it and I eat it all. I eat every last seed of popcorn. This is actually really good. Wasn't it good? It was good. Like, what if? How much popcorn would I have after I pop and eat it all? None, because I planted nothing. I ate it all. At harvest time, I'd be like, it's not fair. They won't give me more popcorn seeds. You know what I would call that? Stupid. You're being stupid. If I complained, nobody would feel bad for me. You all would say, dude, it's your fault. And I'd be like, It is possible, it is entirely possible to do the outdoor work, to get the fields ready, and then forget to plant more seed. It is possible to get your money, get everything going, and then spend it all instead of doing the planting that God intended for you. What is the planting that we're talking about today? This is more important than the previous 2 weeks, because you can do all the work, but if you don't finish the final step, actually, here's one of the verses from what we're going to read today, and this is Jesus. He says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Do you want God to trust you with much? If you do, then you need to be faithful and trustworthy right now, even though you have very little. Is that true? This is what Jesus tells us. So if God gives you a field to work in, he is trusting that the seeds he gives you, are you going to use them a little bit. The little bit you got right now, he's going to see if he can trust you with that little bit. Grab your outlines. Here's the question that we're going to ask today. Fields exist for planting. What does God expect me to plant with? My money. What does he expect you to plant with your money? What is God trusting you to do? I don't mind if you get a better car. I'm not saying you can't ever have a better car. If you give me 100 tons of popcorn kernels to plant, I'm going to plant 99 tons. I'm going to eat a little popcorn there, you know? But if all your money does is make your life more comfortable, then you miss the point of having a field and seeds. And you won't get God's blessing. How do you get God's blessing? By being trustworthy. You've got to understand how to be trustworthy with the money that God gives you. So grab your Bibles. That's what we're going to learn today. How to be trustworthy. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. We're going to read. You got that Bible in front of you? Just grab it. You're going to turn to page 849. It's really simple. The Bible has big numbers. Those are chapter numbers. It's got some small numbers. Those are verses. So you're going to find Luke, big 16, and we're going to read right there all the way through verse 13. Now, while you're turning there, some people sent in some text messages or some emails here. You can send emails to ask@reva.church. You're dealing with genetically modified popcorn, so you didn't have the brochure and fertilizer and everything you needed to grow it perfectly. Someone else says, your popcorn didn't get pollinated effectively. That's why you know what? I don't want to be a farmer, okay? It was just an analogy. Leave me alone. They're talking about the corn that I grew in my backyard. Someone else says, popcorn isn't popcorn without real melted butter. Just saying. You know, sometimes I use real melted butter. Sometimes I use, there's other like special popcorn topping oils that you can put on. It's like a coconut butter oil. It's so good. Anyway. Let's get back to Luke 16 here. All right. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. Okay, so what do we got here? I'm going to talk through this a little bit. There was a rich dude. He owned some companies, and he hired a manager to manage those companies. Someone came and was like, dude, your manager is ripping you off. He's wasting your money. He probably stole from you. Okay, so that's what's going on. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be manager any longer. What does that mean to give an account? That means show me the spreadsheets. I want to see how you've been managing my money. I want to see every dollar and penny. But what did he also do? He said, you can't work here anymore. What does that mean? The guy got fired. Now, let me ask you a question. If you have a boss or if you're a boss, is it a good idea to fire someone who handles your money and then ask them to go deal with the money? No. It's a terrible idea. But that's what this owner did, right? He's like, you're fired. Now go show me all the spreadsheets and go get the money and tell me what's going on. Not a good idea. Here's what happens. The manager said to himself, what should I do now? My master's taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig. Okay, so this guy's not a blue-collar worker, right? And he knows it. He's like, I'm kind of a wuss. And I'm ashamed to beg. Okay, he's like, I don't want to go on the street. I got too much pride. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he gets some sort of idea here. He's like, I'm going to get fired. I can't work a blue-collar job. Probably not going to be able to get a white-collar job because they're going to hear that I was robbing my manager or my owner. I'm not going to go back. I got an idea. People are going to welcome me into their house. I'm going to do something so that when I come out of here, you're going to be like, bro, come move in with me. What's he going to do? So this manager guy who's getting fired, he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first one, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. Now, that's a lot of money, especially 2,000 years ago. 900 gallons of olive oil is a lot of money. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. How much did he cut the bill in half? Or he cut the bill in half, right? He cut the bill in half for this guy. Is that stealing from his master? Yes, it absolutely is stealing from his master. You can't just, if you're working for some, you can't just like take away money from their customers. You can't do that. And then he asked the second guy, how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. Take your bill and make it 800. Okay, so this is the crazy part. He just keeps going to everybody that the master owns money, or the people owe money to for the master. And he says, just cut the money off. Just take the money off. He's hoping that when he gets kicked out of the master's house, the people are so happy, like, bro, you saved me like $1,000,000. You can stay with me for a week. Heck yeah. That's what he's banking on. How is the owner going to respond to this? We're going to read these and then we'll talk about them one at a time. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever's dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Okay, let's look at the second half of this story, verse by verse here. We get to verse 8. It said, the master commended. Okay, this is the guy who owned the company, right? He commended the dishonest manager. Why? Because he had acted shrewdly. Okay, so shrewdly comes from a Greek word meaning practical or smart, kind of crafty. Like this dude knew he was going to get fired, so he did what he had to do. He did what he had to do. Now, it says the master commended him. That's like almost like applauding. Why would he applaud the guy who stole from him? Well, it's not that the master's happy about it, but the master realized what was going on here, and he's like, bro, you just cut everybody's bill in half because I let you be in charge of the finances after I fired you? That one's on me. That was on me. That was smart, dude. That was good. I should have seen that one coming. That's kind of the attitude the master has here, right? He's like, I should have known it. Let's write this down. In Luke 16, Jesus says, people in the world aren't stupid. People in the world aren't stupid. And when they see an opportunity to get ahead, they will take it. That's what Jesus says here. The people of the world are more shrewd. They're wiser. They're smarter. They take advantage of opportunities. people in the world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are people of the light. Who are people of the light? You and me, if we follow Jesus Christ. This is, as far as I can tell, this is really the only time in the Bible where Jesus actually says, I wish my people would act more like the world. This is the only time. God actually wants you to act more like a worldly person here than a Christian. Why? Because Christians are all like, I want to love God. I want to follow God. I want to do good with things. But Jesus is like, bro, this dude had an opportunity. And so he grabbed it and he ran after it. And Jesus wants you to be a lot more like that. What does it mean? He says they're more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than people of the world. What does it mean to be shrewd? Well, we can look at the next verse. He says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends. To gain friends, where you're going to use wealth from the world, your money, to gain friends. He's not talking about throwing a big party on Friday night, right? It's not just gain friends. It's gain friends for yourselves so that when your money is gone, when will your money be all the way gone? Now, he's not talking about being broke. He's talking about when you die. So that when it's all gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwelling. What's an eternal dwelling? Heaven. The next life, right? Jesus is saying that you are supposed to be using your worldly wealth so that other people will go into heaven. So that when you die and go to heaven, they're like, bro, thank you. You are the MVP for helping me get here. I mean, after Jesus, but after Jesus, you're the MVP because you used your money to help me know Jesus, and now I'm in the next life. You could have had a better car, but instead, you got me into church. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's the real planting of the seeds. Instead of eating all the popcorn, using it for yourself, plant the seeds. Use worldly wealth to make friends so that they go to heaven instead of just hell while you get a new car. Let's write this down. My money is seed. I shouldn't eat the seed all myself. And fields don't exist so I can admire them. They exist so I plant them. And planting the seed means investing my money in things that help people come to Christ, like church and missions. You give to the church, and we all work together to share the message of Jesus Christ. I don't know how you see the sermons when you come and you hear me teach or the music, but I don't feel like I'm up here by myself. I mean, in a sense, this is all of us together doing this because we all give. And the fact that we all give makes the lights turn on. The fact that we all give makes the sound system turn on. It gives me the time during the week to prepare a sermon to teach people so that you can learn about God and know God better. We are all working together here so that all of us get closer to God and so that other people can come in here who don't know Jesus yet. And we got people baptized today. 6 more people got baptized today. It's an awesome thing. How did that happen? Because someone like you said, I want to make sure Revolution Church is here for other people. That's how people get saved. These baptisms didn't just happen randomly. Someone planted seeds here. This planting the seed. This is getting ready for the next life. This is the end goal. Your best life isn't in 10 years with a bigger house. Your best life is when you plant seed to get as many people possible into the next life so that we all have mansions in heaven. The next life, eternity, that's the goal. And the work is using your money so that people go to heaven. Hey, let me tell you, statistically, we are bigger than 95% of churches. Do you know that? Awesome. Statistically, we are bigger church than 95% of churches. And we didn't grow because we're like, hey, bro, my church is better than your church sucks, dude. Come to my church. There was that one week I wore a t-shirt on stage, remember? And said other churches suck. But that was an example of what not to do, right? That was an example of what not to do. But we didn't grow by people coming here because other churches sucked. We grew because people were hearing about Jesus. Because people were getting saved because people's lives were changing. We use our money to change eternity. How do most people use their money? You ever seen those balloon guys at car dealerships? They're like, that's how most people use their money. I want a new car. I want to go to the movies tonight. I want to. They just eat and eat and eat, and they use it all on themselves. Listen, you're going to do what we talked about the last couple weeks during this sermon series. You're going to start living all that's out, right? You're going to get out of debt. You're going to get a raise. You're going to have more. You're going to be tempted to think, now that I got more stuff, I can afford even more stuff. I'll work harder and get even more stuff. But God has an even bigger plan for your money than that. This is verse 9. Use worldly wealth so people go to heaven. And then what did Jesus say next? Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. I want you to think about Jesus' logic here. Okay, he started with, people in the world aren't stupid. When they see an opportunity, they take it. Here's the opportunity. I'm going to give you money, and I want you to use it to help people know God better. Then he follows up with, and who can ever be trusted with this? Even if you only got a little, whoever I can trust with this, I know that I can trust with much. But if you're dishonest with what I'm giving you, then I know I can't trust you with more. Wow. What's the point that Jesus is making here? Well, let's write this down. Jesus says the field he wants me to do with, the field work he wants me to do with money is in the church. And evangelism, that's helping people know Jesus. And if he can trust me to give to that when I have a little bit of money, then he knows he can trust me with a lot. Just imagine I build a hospital. I hire doctors. I build a surgical center. We start a new cancer research wing. And then I give one of my kids partial ownership in the hospital. I'm like, we are in the business of saving lives. I'm going to trust you with this investment. And they might say, well, okay, but should we make money as a hospital? Yes, we should. We got to make money. We got to pay the staff. We want to expand. We should make money. But lives are the number one goal. So I start transferring some of my ownership of the hospital, just a little bit at a time, to one of my kids. Now imagine that kid takes the piece of the hospital they own and they sell a chunk of it and go buy themselves a Ferrari. Oh, yeah. And they don't reinvest money back in the hospital. They take another chunk and they sell it and they go buy themselves some nice outfits. And they come to the hospital and they're like, I love the hospital. The hospital's amazing. They sing to the patients, oh, I'll get better soon. They talk about how great the hospital is. They want to be in the hospital's Facebook reels. They love the hospital, but they never reinvest their money back in the hospital. Would I be happy about that? No way. I'd be mad. Would I give that kid more and more ownership of the hospital? Absolutely not. But if I give a kid partial ownership of the hospital, I said, this is what I've invested in. I want you to invest in it too. And then they work in it and they make it better and they invest some of their own money and it grows and more lives are saved. What am I going to do? I'm going to give them more ownership of it because now I see they can be trusted with this. And Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. But whoever's dishonest with a little will be dishonest with much. Amen. Are you building God's kingdom with your money? You got to do the work. You got to plow. You got to get out of debt. You got to plan. You got to save. God will do this. But then the seeds. You're supposed to plant and fill God's kingdom with the seeds that you have. And God's command is for you to treat his kingdom in a certain way. He gives you these. He gives you money so that his kingdom will actually expand. And again, nothing wrong with having a car. There's nothing wrong with building more. I actually think your life would be a little better, a little easier if you had a little bit more money. But money is a super dangerous thing where it's like, okay, you've learned. You're going to stop living with financial fantasies. You're going to work really hard wherever you're at. You're going to get out of debt. All that's going to happen. And God says, here are these truths. And you're going to live by the truths that God has given you. And when you live by all the truths that God's giving you about money, you're going to have more money. And the problem is you're going to start to think, wow, I got more money because I did it. And you're going to stop thinking about how to plant seeds for God. And you can start thinking, I did it. This is mine. I own all of this. And that's the danger with money. you can get really wrapped up in that sort of thinking. In fact, Jesus continues this thought, and he warns.
Well, friends, that's all the time we have on air for today. If you want to hear the rest of this sermon, hop on over to revo.church. That's revo.church, and you can find this sermon on our front page. Just go there, click on watch, and you can watch it on YouTube or listen to the audio. It's up to you. If you'd like to join us in person or watch online, you can go over to revo.church and find out more information about when and where we meet. I hope to meet you soon.